Her skin's flushed, and her eyes are wide as she sees me. What are you doing here? Tell Cassie sorry, but I had to lie to get her out of here. I came to serve you. Serve me? She says suspiciously. And just what does that mean? I look around, seeing a bottle of coconut oil lotion, and pick it up. It's more than just coconut, but all I can say is that it smells heavenly, and I can only imagine Hannah smelling the same way. Yeah, I thought you could use a little spa treatment. Hannah bites her lip, looking at me uncertainly. But just relax, I reply. I promise, it's just what you need. She hesitates a moment but gets up, going to the connecting door to the relaxation garden, where I see a body-length woven mat on the ground and high walls that separate us from the rest of the world. She lies down on her stomach, and I kneel down next to her, undoing the towel. The soft lantern light of the garden makes her skin glow as I really get my first look at her naked body. The earlier encounter was so shadowed. I open my mouth in amazement, but shut it as I get some lotion on my hands and start rubbing down her back. With each sweep of my fingers and thumbs, it feels like I'm sewing. Instead of cloth, I'm stitching myself to Hannah, not to her body, but something deeper, something scary yet so intense. She moans softly as my hands reach the amazingly soft skin on the back of her thighs, her ass quivering, and her knees parting a little. My eyes catch just a glimmer between her thighs, and I want to rush, but I hold back. So, where'd you learn to use a bow? What? Hannah asks, her voice thick as I rub her inner thighs. Oh, you mean the bow fishing? I learned a little at Girl Scout camp, but that was when I was 12. She sighs softly as I edge closer, moaning as I pull back to start massaging her ass. The scent of her arousal fills the air as I knead and squeeze her ass, my thumb working toward the middle, and she wiggles her hips slightly, another deep moan coming from her. My cock throbs. It's raging hard as I think of what I want to do to her. Suddenly, she slides over and pops up on her knees, totally naked. My turn. I gulp, taking in the glorious sight of her glistening body, my cock oozing pre-cum as I look at her. I didn't get your front yet. I insist, she says, her voice full of desire. Lie down and let me return the favor. I'll get your front. I chuckle. Fine, have it your way. But you know what you're going to find. I lie down, undoing the towel around my waist, and Hannah's eyes go wide as she takes me in. Still, even as her breasts heave up and down from breathing harder, she kneels down and pours some lotion into her hands. She starts on my shoulders, rubbing them with sensual strokes as her breasts dangle just out of reach above my lips, as she works the knots out of my muscles. It's erotic torture, as she finds tight spots in my muscles I didn't even know I had. Don't tell me you learned this in Girl Scouts. No. Hannah teases as she runs her hands up and down my body. I suck in a breath. Her soft touch feels amazing. She reaches out, wrapping a hand around my hard cock before smiling and bending down. And I definitely didn't learn this at Girl Scouts. Her tongue strokes me from tip to base. I've never felt anything like it before, as the soft massaging texture of her tongue sends shockwaves up my body. She teases me, giving my cock little butterfly kisses before licking the head like an ice cream cone, and I growl, "You're such a tease." "You didn't say the magic word yet." Hannah teases me, licking my cock again. It's too much, and I reach out, grabbing her calf and pulling her toward me. Hannah fights me for a moment before I pull her hips over my chest. It's not perfect, but I'm able to bend my head enough to stick out my tongue, running the tip along the wet lips of her pussy, and she freezes. Oh, fuck. She pushes herself back toward my eager lips and tongue so I can reach her better, and I suck on her pussy before my tongue slides inside her. Hannah cries out, then buries my cock deep into her mouth. Every stroke of my tongue is mirrored by hers and every stroke of my hands on her hips and ass makes her bob up and down on my cock, her fingernails scratching at my thighs as we go faster and faster. I reach around, grabbing her ass to pull her tighter against me, and as I do, my fingers slide deeper, the tip of my right middle finger stopping as it presses against her asshole. Hannah freezes, pulling her lips from my cock. "Tony, please." I notice she must like it, and I start to massage her ass with my finger as my tongue circles her clit. Hannah's moans are of pure, unbridled lust, and she grinds her hips on my mouth, riding my face as I take her. When I feel she's ready, I slide my middle finger into her while sucking her clit, nibbling on it. I can hear her screams muffled as she gobbles my cock, sucking me like her life depends on it. Her mouth is voracious, sucking me hard, her tongue a whirlwind around my shaft. I flick my tongue faster in reply, and I can feel her pressing herself down harder on my face. From deep in her throat, she starts humming, the vibrations driving me wild, and her ass clenches tighter. My balls ache, growing tight as she takes me all the way down, sending me rocketing toward my orgasm. I suck harder on her clit, stifled moans coming out as I do. My cock is throbbing so hard it hurts, and I can't hold back any longer. I only last a second later, thick squirts of my seed shooting into Hannah's mouth. She moans and sucks hungrily, her pussy soaking my face as she comes right along with me. It feels like she's sucking my soul out of my cock, and I moan in pleasure as it keeps going, almost feeling like it'll never end. When it's finally over, we lie there, Hannah's pussy just an inch from my face as I gasp, trying to slow my heartbeat. Slowly, I withdraw my finger, and Hannah turns around, snuggling against me and resting her head on my chest. She licks her lips, then kisses me tenderly. "I thought you had a talented cock, but your tongue and mouth? You're a god." "You're not too bad yourself," I say, kissing her back. "And tasty." "You're the tastiest muffin I've ever had," Hannah jokes. And when I give her a raised eyebrow, she shakes her head. "Never mind, just a joke." "So, Hannah, I know we're supposed to be fighting for the property, but that doesn't mean we have to be enemies, does it?" I ask. And Hannah shakes her head. "I guess not," she says guardedly. "Then again, you're in the lead." "Hannah, I start to say, but suddenly, there's a yell and a laugh from the other side of the massage house. I can hear Caleb yelling, "Get the fuck back here! That was so wrong!" There's a laugh and the sound of Cassie running. "Gotta catch me first." I look at Hannah, and we both laugh nervously. If we can hear them, they may have heard us. We get up and shower quickly, before I retreat to the men's side to get dressed. Caleb's soaking wet when I get in. Apparently, Cassie thought a bucket full of cold water was a funny prank. But he says nothing as he gets dressed. Before we were interrupted, I wanted to tell Hannah that to me, none of this is important anymore. That more than winning this contract, I want her. I want to tell her that I'm scared that I'm going to win one and lose the other. And no matter what, I don't want to lose her.
Chapter 16. Hannah. "Rise and shine, sleepyhead," Cassie says. "Time to go mount that epic comeback." It's been 2 days since the hike, and each day we've had two games. Yesterday, we managed to get back within 1 point after we raced jet skis around the bay, and I just edged out Tony. He and Caleb swear it was because I had a weight advantage, but it doesn't matter. Now I'm scared. We're down 1 point, and by my guess, this might be the last day. Next to the last day, at most. Either way, I know our time here is coming to an end. "Ugh," I groan. "I don't want to get up. My ass is still throbbing from that damn jet ski." "Come on, we're running behind for breakfast. No time to worry about your aching ass. We need to take care of business today so we can win this." "I think we have a pretty good chance. Wesley's backing off on the purely physical challenges, Cassie says. Rolling out of bed, I quickly get some clothes on. I give my teeth the 30-second brushing treatment and head downstairs with Cassie to the dining area, where we find the guys walking in with us. Wesley, of course, already has Momo on his shoulder. And I swear, if that fucking parrot says anything about my ass, I'm going to strangle her. I take a seat, my eyes immediately meeting Tony's as soon as I sit. He's dressed the same way we all are, in a t-shirt and cargo shorts, as if we're trying to be ready for anything Wes throws at us. He gives me a smile, just like he always does, but it feels different. When Tony and I first met, his smiles were arrogant, those of a man who knew he was king of the mountain. Now, they seem genuine, like he's happy to see me. I've tried to keep my guard up just a little bit. I can't be sure he isn't just using me, but he doesn't strike me as that kind of man. How'd you sleep? I spent half the night wishing you were next to me and the other half dreaming you were, I want to say before replying. Well, I think I'm finally getting acclimated. How about you?
We slept great, Caleb answers for him, grinning like a shark. Can't be much longer before we win.
Caleb's boast makes my head spin, although I don't know if it's because of the possibility he's right or the fact that regardless of who wins, our time here is coming to a close. If I win, Cassie and I go back and someone from Aurora will take over the next phase of whatever is going to happen. If I lose, I'll probably never see this place again. Hell, who knows if or when I'll even see Tony again. And that hurts worse.
There's two team challenges left, Wesley announces as the staff brings in breakfast. You are going on an adventure controlled by lines. Latitudinal and longitudinal, that is. You're going on a scavenger hunt. Both teams will be given a list of locations around the grounds. You will be provided with two backpacks per team, one with your supplies, and one empty to collect your items. Both teams will have the same list. You can choose to work together or alone. After finding all the items, you will need to assemble a puzzle to complete the task. So teamwork may help you, or it may mean your opponent finishes the puzzle before you. Choose wisely, and let your heart be your guide.
We all look at each other. This being a more analytical game, I feel like Cassie and I have a good chance. It's been a long time. But map reading was one of my strongest skills in Girl Scouts. My mind is telling me to beat the hell out of Tony, but my heart is saying to work with him. I don't know what to do. I feel like I don't know if I can trust him, or if this is a foolish combination of hormones, stress, and the location. He could be the ultimate player, playing me like a fiddle. It's just one big clusterfuck of uncertainty. After breakfast, we go to the back of the house, where our bags have been laid out on the steps, two in blue and two in red. I look at Tony and make a decision. Let's work together as a team, at least until we get the puzzle pieces.
What are you doing?
Cassie whispers, grabbing me by the arm as Tony immediately looks relieved.
Caleb needs his ticket punched.
Are you going to tell me what happened between you two? Since you dumped a bucket of cold water on him, you two have been glaring at each other like you're each other's worst enemy. Cassie's face turns red.
None of your damn business, thank you very much.
But you're the boss, so however you want to do it. I shrug and pick up one of the red bags. It must be the supply bag because it's packed. Tony gives me a questioning look, seeing that Cassie might have a problem.
So, team effort?
Together, I confirm. Caleb, meanwhile, has a GPS, map, and a piece of paper with coordinates on it.
What you got? 8 digits, Caleb says in frustration. I thought maps had latitude and longitude. What is this shit?
I look at his paper and the map and thank my Girl Scout experience. It's military grid coordinates. Here, let me see. Okay, the GPS is set for that too. I show them how to use the map, and Tony takes the lead. I start to follow, but halfway across the yard I stop, recognizing that Cassie's not with us. I turn and see that she's still standing with her arms crossed, a pissed-off look on her face. I go back, giving her a look.
What? Are you trying to win this or what? She asks. You saw it. The guys didn't know what the fuck they were doing. So why are we working with them? I get it. You like Tony, and I won't say shit about it. I like everyone here, too, but this is our jobs on the line here. The good looks and tight S's go out the window when I might not be able to feed myself.
I get Cassie's point. And for once, she seems to have more sense than me. Still, that competitive spirit just isn't in me now.
You already know that with Wesley, it's not just about who crosses the finish line first. Besides, the puzzle we're still doing individually. I don't know if there's anything dangerous out here, but if there is, I want them nearby.
That seems to satisfy her, but Tony calls out before she can respond.
Hey, you guys coming, or do you want to split off?
We're coming!
Just a little girl talk, I call back.
All right, you in? Let's do this,
I say, offering my fist, which Cassie lightly pounds and gives a little nod, smiling her acceptance of the plan. The first location is pretty easy to find, and as we walk, we wonder what sort of craziness Wes is up to.
There has to be a twist, I mutter as we find a large banyan tree.
The four of us split up, searching until Cassie finds the treasure, two black plastic canisters about the size of cans of soup. The next treasure is further away, and a lot more challenging to get to. We emerge from the woods to see a rocky outcropping, not quite a cliff, but damn close. Sticking out about halfway up the wall are a red and a blue flag. Displaying his physical prowess, Caleb scrambles up, retrieving the two canisters. Even Cassie gives me silent acknowledgement that working together may have been the smart decision. There's no way the two of us could have conquered that rock without ropes or a jetpack. As the day progresses, I'm shocked at how well we're all working together, moving from location to location. Cassie and Caleb continue their banter, but it's back to the playful vibe they've had since we've been here. We're stopped dead in our tracks at one of the coordinates, the smell reaching us before we're even 100 feet away.
Oh, shit.
Shit is right, I say as we approach a huge pile of manure. I see the tiny red and blue flags on top, and I wince.
That is like a dinosaur-sized pile of shit. Oh, fuck no, Cassie yells. Good thing we're teamed up. Gentlemen? She tells them with a wave of her hand, indicating it's all theirs.
Oh, I'm thinking this is a time for ladies first, Caleb jokes. Just remember, like Wesley says, eat shit and live.
Cassie glares at him.
You know, sometimes I just want to kick your nuts so hard they pop out of your nose. This is one of those times.
Tony and I burst out laughing, causing Caleb to turn red with embarrassment. He doesn't come back, and instead opens the boys' supply pack, finding a canteen and taking a big drink of water.
But seriously, what do we do? I ask. This is fucking disgusting.
We're gonna have to go through it, Tony says. The flags are right there.
He looks around at the three of us, none of us wanting to have anything to do with it.
Fine. I guess it's time for the real man to put on the big boy pants and get to work. I'll take one for the team.
Tony puts on some big gloves that were in the bags and starts trying to move it out of the way by handfuls. Just when I'm thinking this is going to take all day sifting through handfuls at a time, he lets out a triumphant yell, pulling out two canisters. Holding them out, I can't help but cheer and clap a little as Tony grins. Nice job, I say.
We need to get those fucking things cleaned off a little, Caleb says. I don't think any of us wants to carry a can of shit all the way back.
Tony laughs, pulling his t-shirt off to wipe the canisters clean. He's trying his best not to get any on himself, but he's going to need a damn good shower, that's for sure.
I need another shirt. They're still not clean, and mine's dirty as fuck.
With a smile, I shrug off my pack and pull off mine, leaving me in my sports bra. Here, I say, tossing in my shirt.
I don't know if I want that back, though, even if it is washed.
Tony uses my shirt to wipe some more before he's satisfied.
So, the shirt off your back. That's pretty serious. Does that mean we're going steady? Want to hold hands?
Fuck off,
I laugh, running away from him. I edge back, dashing forward to grab my backpack and pull it on.
You need a shower before you come near me.
After a few laughs, we head off. Our last two coordinates are near the beach. One's just off the coast, but there's a problem with that.
The coordinates are in the water.
Tony shrugs off his pack and takes out some goggles.
Well, I guess that's what these are for.
I open our bag and pull out a matching pair.
Let's divide and conquer. Finish this up and move on. I'll take Miss Motormouth while you and Hannah go for a swim, Caleb says. You could probably use a little rinse anyway.
Since we're on the subject of mouths, I have one and only one use for yours, Cassie growls.
I see that look on your face and it's not that either.
Kiss my ass.
Caleb laughs. That'll be the day. Come on, Slowpoke, let's get ours and get back.
The two run off, and I look at Tony. What are we waiting for? He grins at me, and we hurry to the shore, shucking shoes and putting our goggles on.
You ready?
He says, excitement in his voice. Looking into the sparkling waters, I nod.
When you are.
Holding hands, we wade in. The water is darker blue than I thought, and as I struggle downward, I realize it's a lot deeper than I thought it'd be, too. Though we went in together, I don't see Tony. Panicking, I turn, looking all around. I can barely see below the surface. But Tony comes up a moment later, causing me to sigh with relief.
You okay? I was right there beside you.
Sorry, I gasp, grabbing onto his body. I didn't see you go under.
It's all right, he says softly. I'm fine. Let's go down and look together, okay?
I nod, feeling relaxed in his arms. Tony smiles and gives me an encouraging kiss.
With me. Take 5 big deep breaths, and then we go under. Hold on to my belt and kick like hell.
We do it together, Tony putting those muscles to use as we sink fast. The water starts to get darker the deeper we go, and I'm starting to think I might need to turn back up. When I see the flash of red and blue, it's an old anchor, and attached to it are 2 tiny canisters on a floating buoy. Tony reaches out and undoes the simple bow knot holding it to the anchor, and the whole thing shoots up, Tony and I right behind it. Breaking the surface of the water is like being reborn. Sweet air rushes into my lungs, and the sun is dazzling bright as Tony and I hold each other. Cassie and Caleb cheer at us from the shore, waving their canisters at us.
What took so long? They yell.
Y'all need a minute?
Grinning, we swim in, Tony tossing the package to Cassie before pulling me into his arms and giving me a quick kiss on the cheek. I wish we could go further, but there's a time and a place. We've got a challenge to take care of. We quickly get our shoes on, the 4 of us heading back to the house. Wesley is waiting for us, and he claps his hands gleefully, jumping a little bit like a kid on Christmas morning.
Ah, I'm so glad to see you all work together. Very telling and wise of you. But it's time for the puzzle. I have 2 tables set up just outside the house for you to use. You may begin.
Cassie rushes over to our table, while I exchange a glance with Tony before joining her. Cassie's already got 3 of the canisters open, and we see that it is literally pieces of a puzzle.
Oh, fuck, I suck at puzzles, Cassie grumbles. Shit.
That would be this canister,
Caleb says, tossing over their empty metal tin. Cassie squeals and knocks the thing to the ground while Caleb laughs.
And no cheating.
No cheating. Big booty hole,
Momo squawks, and it feels like the metal canister is just the right weight to throw, even if I don't hit anything but air. Taunts and banter go quiet as we all focus. We sort out the edges and get the corners when suddenly Tony yells,
Yes!
What? I ask, feeling desperate. Did they finish already?
It's the resort, Tony says before realizing he may have made a mistake. He glowers and stares at his puzzle while Cassie and I start to see what we're missing.
I go quickly, seeing chunks of pieces fall together while Cassie starts to work methodically. Finally, I see the last piece, the flag on the top of the yacht in the water, and slide it home.
Done!
I yell. Tony looks up in shock, his fingers holding a piece. Wesley comes over, checks, and nods.
A win for the ladies. The score is tied for tomorrow's finale.
Cassie hugs me, but I see nothing but the disappointment in Tony's eyes as he comes over. He sees our puzzle and shakes his head.
It's not the same.
Of course not, Wesley says, chuckling. I wanted to make sure it was fair, so each team's picture was different. So your comment about it being a resort didn't help the ladies.
How close were you? I ask, and Tony shrugs. It doesn't matter. He turns and goes inside, and I walk around to look at Tony's puzzle. 1 piece is missing. It was that close. Wesley looks at me as I pick up Tony's piece and slip it into place, completing his puzzle.
So, what did you learn today?
I glance up at him, not ready for another of his speeches.
The property, this place, it's special. It's more than beautiful scenery. It's a living, breathing entity. The oceans, the forests, and even the giant pile of cow shit, they're all connected.
True, but you knew that before the challenge, Wesley said. What did you learn today?
I swallow and think about the look in Tony's eyes as I finished. I learned that sometimes winning really doesn't feel like winning at all.
How true, Wesley says. Go relax. There is a festival in the village tonight. Very special. You should see it, and you should be able to prepare for tomorrow's finale. Enjoy it, for tomorrow, you're right. The friendships you've built these past few days may very well be undone.
Chapter 17. Anthony.
You know, man, I can't believe we lost that, Caleb says, as I clean up my stubble with a razor. The air in the bathroom is still steamy. I just got out after an incredibly long shower, where I scrubbed myself thoroughly. It took me 3 scrubs, and a thorough jet spraying with a shower head over every inch of my body, before I finally felt like I was cow shit free and clean. I gotta give you props for digging through that shit, though. There was a reason I did it, I say, scraping the last spot on my left cheek smooth. Because I know it will go toward what Wesley thinks of me. I took one for the team. I didn't think about it that way, Caleb says, grinning. I hear him slapping his cheeks. He's probably put on a little aftershave. A regular high karate man, Caleb is. God knows why. When I come out of the bathroom, he's already got his button-down shirt on. We're dressing up a little tonight for the festival. I guess you're right, but there's one problem with that. Wes wasn't there. It doesn't seem like much that happens here gets by that man, I tell him. No way was he going to let the 4 of us go after that cliffside canister or dive for that last one without someone nearby, just in case something went bad. Not to mention, I'm sure he could fucking smell me. Well, let's go have some fun. Let it be our rally before we pull off the big win tomorrow, Caleb says. I can't share in his enthusiasm, though. I don't even know what I want anymore. I don't want to let anyone down, but I don't want to do that at Hannah's expense. One thing's for sure. I know I want her. And tonight, I'm going to show her something special. Caleb notices my silence. What's the matter, dude? And don't say you're tired, because today wasn't even that bad. A lot on my mind, I say, putting on some fresh underwear. Just thinking. Fuck that. Your head is not in the game, Caleb says. You're catching feelings for Hannah. Just admit it. We can all see it, man. Is it serious? Or are y'all just fucking around? Because she's got you tied up inside. Just make sure it's not one-sided, and she bolts on you when the dust settles after this competition. When I stay silent, he presses. Everyone knows what's going on. No shame in it. No use denying it. Whether it's true or not, it's no one's business, I reply as I pull on my lightweight slacks. You're right, maybe it's not, but I'm your friend and will always tell you the truth, even if you don't want to hear it. Be careful with Hannah. I'm not sure who will end up more hurt here, but it's going to be one or the both of you, and I won't be the one having to explain it if we lose. I can't argue with his words as I put on my Hawaiian shirt that I leave open at the front. Don't worry, I say finally. I don't know what's going to happen, with Hannah and me or the competition, but I'll be ready come tomorrow. And Caleb, no matter what, I'm glad I didn't come for this alone. Thanks, man. That's my boy. Now let's go have some fun. Just remember, tomorrow morning, it's all business. All business, I repeat. As we walk out, I don't know who I'm lying to. Caleb or myself.
Hannah. I can't wait to get out there and enjoy the island, Cassie says as she applies eyeliner, making sure she gets just the shape she wants. We're in our bathroom getting ready for tonight's festival, and I'm both excited and leery. Tomorrow's the end, and it's hard thinking that this will be over soon. It's even harder when I think that there can only be one winner. Someone's going home a loser. And even with how much I've come to want Tony, I really don't know if I want it to be me.
Don't get me wrong. I've been having fun, slinging arrows, pretending to be Yoda and all that, but I'm ready to let loose a little. Enjoy some island eye candy.
Despite being distracted by my thoughts, I chuckle at Cassie's antics as I apply a light shade of lipstick to my lips, and then step back to critique my appearance. I have on a beautiful, multicolored Hawaiian dress that I just felt I had to wear. It's so beautiful. I've gone with matching makeup, rainbow-colored eye makeup with some glitter and blush over my cheeks. I even have a red flower Cassie found in my hair. Cassie says I look like a pale Hawaiian goddess, and I smile. But there's this one damn curl that won't stay, and it keeps coming free. If only this damn curl would just hold. I finally get it fixed and look at Cassie, who's finishing up her own makeup. "You look pretty," I say, smiling at her. Cassie is in a beautiful green and white dress, her dimples shining even more than normal.
"Thank you," she replies before blushing. "You look stunning, too. But then again..."
"What?" I ask, seeing the look on her face as her voice trails off. She bites her lip, worry in her eyes.
"Please don't get mad at me when I say this, but how far are you willing to go to win this thing?"
I fidget with my hands, suddenly nervous. "I don't know," I say quietly. I can tell she's afraid to say what she's thinking.
"Look, I know something is going on between you and Tony. I think it's kind of sweet, but our jobs..."
Her voice trails off, and I totally get what she's saying. A pain bites my chest. It hurts to even think about it.
"I know I was sent along with you to be your helper, and I know I haven't done a great job at that. I've gotten caught up in the fun and games. Maybe both of us have. But we need to consider the very serious consequences if we're not successful."
Tears spring to my eyes and trickle down my cheeks. It hurts so much to see her like this. It's not the Cassie I've come to know, and I pull her into my arms. Hugging her, I swallow down the lump in my throat. "We're going to win. God, why does this have to be so damn hard? And you've never hurt our chances. It wouldn't be this close without you."
"Promise?" Cassie asks,
and I nod, holding up my right pinky. She smiles bravely and hooks it with her own.
"I've never had anyone pinky swear with me before."
"Well, you do now. You know, Cassie, I used to think you were annoying."
"And now?" Cassie asks.
"You're still annoying. But you're also a good friend." She smiles, and we leave our room, heading downstairs. In the living room, the guys are waiting. Tony's shirt pulls my attention to the tanned, muscled skin underneath. I look up into his eyes, and I see he's just as stunned.
"Anna."
Wes is with Alani, and for once, I don't see Momo on his shoulder. The parrot's on her stand in the corner.
"You two are almost matching," Wes comments.
I glance and realize Wesley's right. Tony's shirt and my dress have the same pattern. I gulp, looking at Tony.
"You look handsome."
"You look absolutely gorgeous," Tony says, grinning.
In his eyes, I can see that the connection that I felt growing between us over the past few days is almost visible in the air between us. Caleb comes over, taking Cassie by the hand and smiling.
"You look cute."
Cassie laughs, but blushes too. "You're just saying that to get some brownie points." Caleb laughs, offering his arm.
"Please. I could have you on your knees if I wanted. I don't need brownie points."
Cassie laughs, taking his arm.
"Oh, shut up. If anyone is getting on their knees, it's you."
We all laugh. There might be nothing there, but I'm not completely convinced. Tony comes over, extending his hand, and as he comes closer, I can smell a faint cologne. It's tropical, and it feels special.
"Are you ready?"
His smile is pearly white, and my mind starts whirling, thinking of all the ways that he could be meaning his question. Am I ready for the festival? Yes. Am I ready for this trip to be over? No. Am I ready to maybe break his heart? Fuck no. I don't think I ever will be ready for that. Not without breaking my own.
He takes my hand, and I hear Cassie and Caleb whispering, probably about us. I smile back and decide that no matter what tomorrow brings, tonight is about one thing, Tony, and what we can have for now. Yes, I was born ready to party. Chapter 18. Hannah. The beat of the Hawaiian drums pounds in tandem with my heartbeat as Tony and I walk onto the festival grounds, trailing the rest of the group. There are all sorts of colorful tents set up and down the shoreline, each offering some kind of delicacy, the aromas mixing in with the vibrant colors and carried on the warm winds. There are even game booths further on down where people are gathered around, shouting and engaged in fierce competition. I suck in a deep breath as I take everything in, my eyes feasting on the explosion of culture on display. There are groups of women here and there hula dancing, their tanned bodies moving in a seductive, ritualistic manner. As they swirl around each other, the air seems to come alive with a kind of joyous energy, crackling against my skin and causing goosebumps all over. With the backdrop of the sparkling ocean, the kaleidoscope of colors and bright lights, the wild pounding music, dance, and people, I'm almost dizzy with wonder. "This is beautiful," I half-whisper, shaking my head in awe.
"Sure is," Tony agrees. He points. "Look over there."
In the center of the village, we can see the recreation of a volcano glowing orange-red and spewing clouds of steam. Some wise-ass has even painted a sign in front of it. "Mount Fuka'ayu." "A sign?" I ask. Tony smiles, flashing his beautiful teeth.
"Maybe."
He reaches out his hand to me. For a moment I stare at it, and then glance ahead where Cassie and Caleb are razzing each other, blissfully unaware of us. Meanwhile, Wesley and Alani have already walked off and are talking with a group of locals. None of them are paying attention, but even if they were, it seems everyone already knows there's something going on between Tony and me. Smiling, I take his hand. He squeezes, and my anxiety ebbs. My heart swells in my chest as we walk hand in hand together, slightly trailing Caleb and Cassie. "You're always talking like I'm not good enough for you," Cassie is complaining just a tad too loudly. "Like, I'm too young or I'm too short. Like, what the hell? Get out of here with that mess. You want to know what I think? I think you're just scared that I would rock your world."
"Don't flatter yourself, darling," Caleb chuckles. "The only thing that would end up being rocked is your mind when I gave you the best orgasm of your life."
"Tell you what, Mr. Hotshot," Cassie says, placing her hands on her hips. "Let's make a bet. If I can grab a girl faster than you can, you have to bow down and kiss my feet. If I lose, I'll do the same."
Caleb arches an eyebrow and guffaws in disbelief. "You grab a chick?"
Cassie nods. "I'm not ashamed. I'll show you that not only am I hotter than you, but I have more swagger and a bigger set of balls, too."
"You're fucking nuts," Caleb laughs. "But game on."
The two disappear quickly off into the crowd, and Tony and I shake our heads, chuckling.
"Since becoming an adult, I've never in my life seen Caleb act this way," Tony remarks. "You'd almost think he was a kid in the candy store."
I shrug helplessly. "What can I say? Cassie is a bad influence." I sigh wistfully as we pass a stand with mouth-watering delicacies on display. "But to tell you the truth, I like having her around. She kind of reminds me of myself a few years back." Tony chuckles, arching a skeptical eyebrow.
"Seriously? I can't imagine you acting like that."
"I was different, sure. But Roxy and I did get into some crazy shit." Tony appraises me with interest.
"So you're telling me there's a wilder version of Hannah locked away somewhere?"
I grin and poke him in the side. "Maybe, so don't fuck with me." Tony laughs.
"Ooh, scary. I'll make a mental note not to cross you."
"Good decision." Tony can't contain his grin as joy seems to surround us, and he tugs on my arm. He leads me around the festival and we take in the sights. I have to admit, it feels good walking around on his arm in public, like we're a couple. No one here cares, and it just feels so right. For all of my self-talk about not needing a man to be complete, I know that as I put my arm around Tony's waist and he pulls me close around the shoulders, I've never felt more complete in my life. We stop by several booths to play games, and Tony shows me his competitive spirit that I've come to love, playing aggressively to win. But each time, he gets to the end of the match, only to lose to some local. Finally, in an arm wrestling contest, he triumphs, winning a stuffed animal. A parrot. I scowl at the parrot in disgust. It even looks like Momo. I love you for winning this, but... Tony laughs.
Just think you got her a boyfriend. She might love you now.
I certainly won't miss being called Big Booty Ho, that's for sure. We come up to a food stall where they have a whole pig roasting on a spit. Tony tries it, then holds out a sample to me.
Here, it's hot, but delicious.
I take it into my mouth, and he's right. It's sweet, salty, a little spicy. It's the best pork I've ever had. I suck on his finger, lost in the flavor, when Tony chuckles and leans in to whisper in my ear.
Watch it, you're going to make me pop wood out here in front of all of these people.
I chuckle and wipe at my mouth with my pinky finger. Sorry, I couldn't help myself. He grins, motioning over to a group of couples dancing.
Wanna give it a go?
You're joking.
Hell no, I'm not,
Tony says, pulling me toward the group. A couple of the locals look surprised, but when Tony strips off his shirt and starts dancing, recreating the moves that we did for the competition, they're getting into it. My heart soars so much that I wrap my arms around him, kissing him hard. I can't believe we just did that, I say as we get applause. He's covered in a fine sheen of sweat, but I don't care. He's the sexiest thing I've ever seen as he kisses me back.
Let's go get a drink. I've worked up a sweat.
We go to the punch bowl stand, grabbing two massive cups. I see that this is the real stuff, not shit from a bottle. Tony makes a joke about keeping the punch in the cup and not in his face this time. It seems like that happened a lifetime ago, as I give him a little sheepish grin. I'm finishing my last drop when Cassie comes by with a girl on her arm.
See? What did I tell you?
Caleb, who's just coming up empty-handed, looks shocked.
No fucking way.
Way. Told you. Don't doubt me.
Cassie boasts, triumphant even though her newfound friend is at least half drunk.
Kalina, say hello.
Cassie's newfound friend giggles and squeezes her cheeks.
Hello.
And who wouldn't love her dimples?
She says.
Well, if it weren't for Tony's dancing, messing up my game, I would have won. Caleb says, dropping by the water balloon game stand. His little display has all the girls around here eyeing him.
Sure, excuses, excuses, Cassie says, kicking off her sandals and brandishing her petite feet. But you know what time it is. Don't be a sore loser. Get down on your knees and get to worshiping.
Cassie's so caught up in her gloating that she doesn't appear to notice Caleb's hand moving behind his back as he moves his lips toward her feet. But with mere inches to go, he shakes his head.
Kiss him real good, Cassie gloats, winking at Kalina. Don't be afraid of the toe jam.
Caleb hikes his arm higher, opening his mouth. Tell me he's not gonna, I begin to say, but Caleb is fast, throwing the water balloon right into Cassie's chest, where it explodes, soaking her and her friend.
Boom! Money shot!
He yells, taking off running.
Mother fuck!
Cassie yells, shoving Kalina to the side and running after him. We both laugh at them as Cassie calls after him.
Get back here, asshole!
Someone's gonna end up dead,
Tony laughs as Cassie's newfound friend squawks, then shrugs and walks off.
We're so gonna have to patch one of them up.
Forget them. Let's go for a walk, I reply, taking his arm. I grab a water balloon to hold as we pass. It feels cool in my hand to hold, refreshing against the heat. We move away from the main festival, melting into the shadows as we walk. The moon is still high, and while not quite full, it's beautiful as we head down a walking path that connects the village to Wesley's place. This whole trip has been life-changing.
I know what you mean,
Tony says.
I can't believe it's going to end soon.
I don't want it to, I admit. Tony, I don't want it to end. We stop, and he pulls me close. Kissing me softly. I wrap my arms around his neck, my desire tempered by the mood. He's tender, looking at me with something that shakes me to my core, and I lay my head against his shoulder when we're done. Tony strokes my back, his voice heavy with feeling.
For now, let's just enjoy the night.
Okay, I reply, feeling a little better. I don't want to ruin the night thinking about it. I want to retreat to a safe place from my feelings, and I look back toward the village. I wonder if she's caught him by now and beaten his ass.
I'm pretty sure she's all talk, Tony says with a chuckle. Still, she's a feisty little thing. I can't picture you being so bold.
Oh, wanna bet? I ask.
I do,
Tony challenges me. I lob the water balloon I've been carrying in his face. Splat! That was for doubting me, I yell, running for my life.
You're so dead, he shouts, laughing.
I pump my legs fast, feeling like a child. Everything drops away, all the worries, all my thoughts about how it's going to end. Instead, there's just this moment, my muscles straining as the air pours in and out of my lungs and laughs and squeals. There's only the moon and the path and the laughter as my man comes pelting down the path after me, coming to claim me.
You're mine, he yells, stumbling over something in the path before recovering.
I pour on the speed. Maybe I can outrun him. Laughing, I push just a little harder. You've got to catch me first.
Chapter 19. Anthony. Your ass is mine, I yell, running her down. She got a head start, and I stumbled once, but I'll catch her. My heart is pounding, my entire body flooded with testosterone and desire. She's wearing herself out, trying to run as fast as she can. I close within a foot and grab her, the two of us falling to the soft ground of the path, Hannah yelling in protest. Ah, get off me! Get off you, I ask, pinning her to the ground and holding her hands over her head. You sure that's what you want? Hannah's reply is cut off as I kiss her neck, and she moans as I run my hands down her body. I bring my hand up to cup her breast, massaging it through the thin fabric of her top. Her nipple pebbles against my palm and I stroke it, pulling away to look into her eyes. Give up? I give up. Hannah moans, putting her arms around my neck. I get off her, lifting her in my arms. Come on. I don't want us to be interrupted. There's a little clearing through those trees. I swoop her up into my arms, crossing the tree line into the field, and setting her down in the soft grass. Tony. A streak catches our eye, and we turn, watching as shooting stars start to fill the sky. It's beautiful. And as I turn back to Hannah, I remember a childhood ritual. You know what they say about shooting stars. We need to make a wish fast. I watch as Hannah closes her eyes, her lips moving silently. As her eyes open, we lock eyes, and she lies back, opening her arms and offering herself to me. Tony, tomorrow is tomorrow, but tonight is ours. Make my wish come true? She asks, with a hopeful look in her eyes. Hannah reaches for the tie on her dress and undoes it, letting the top fall down to reveal her perky tits. Her nipples already hard with desire. I nod, understanding her wish for tonight's magic to carry us through, as if tomorrow won't destroy everything. I reach behind my neck and pull my shirt off, lowering down to meet her halfway in a kiss. The kiss is sweet and tender, with an undercurrent of passion that soon has our tongues wrapping around each other, my hands running up and down her body, working her dress to her feet and then off. She lies before me, her pussy hidden by a tiny scrap of lace. Fuck, you're beautiful, I tell her, as I grab the sides of her panties and lower them. Lying back down over her, my lips trail down Hannah's throat, sucking and licking her delicious skin. I cup her ass, massaging it and squeezing, her moans of arousal growing as I knead the taut flesh. I trail my lips lower, but stop and smile into her hip, as I remember something that I saw earlier. I get up, telling her not to move, and Hannah gives me a worried look. What are you doing? Making perfection even tastier, I joke, walking away for just a few seconds, before coming back with what I remembered. Mango. The fruit is ripe, and I tear it in my hands, squeezing the fresh juice over her breasts as I kneel down, burying my tongue between them. The taste of her skin with the sweet mango leaves me ravenous, and I suck hard, licking and tasting her skin before I devour her nipple, tugging and biting it, Hannah moaning my name and running her hands through my hair. Tony, for God's sake, Tony, you're amazing. I growl, switching sides and sliding a hand between Hannah's legs, rubbing her slick lips. She spreads her legs, and I slip two fingers inside, pumping them in and out as I lick and suck on her breasts until there's no mango left, just the wonderful texture of her skin under my lips. I rub her clit with my thumb, Hannah's hips jerking as I stroke in and out. I kiss up to her lips, sharing the last of the mango with her as my fingers speed up, pumping her tight pussy as I stroke her hair and kiss her tenderly. You're amazing, I whisper to her. Nobody is like you. Hannah tries to answer, but her body shakes so much that all she can do is clutch at my back, her fingernails digging into my shoulders. A moan rolls from the depths of her belly, and her pussy clamps down tightly on my fingers as she comes. Mmm, I moan, licking my fingers clean before sharing them with her. Sweeter than the mango. Hannah laughs. That was amazing, but you still haven't done what you promised. You still planning to follow through on your claim? What? I ask, confused for a moment, until Hannah rolls over, wiggling her ass at me with a raised eyebrow and a smirk. You serious? You said my ass was yours. Here's your chance, stud muffin, she says. Rare chance. Take advantage. I don't need any more encouragement. Getting behind Hannah and pulling her ass toward me, I reach out with my tongue, coating her asshole with spit while I rub her pussy with my right hand, gathering her juices to add to the sensual massage. I can't believe she's offering this to me. Her sighs turn into joyous moans as I slide in one finger, then another into her ass, slowly stretching her open. Tony, please, my mouth. She begs, and I understand. I move around, my two fingers still buried in her ass as she turns her head and slides my cock into her mouth, pumping it slowly in and out to get it extra nice and wet for her. I pull out with a loud pop and move behind her. I pull my fingers out and just touch her with the tip of my cock. You ready? I ask softly, as much as I want to plunge in hard. I know she needs to have a chance to prepare, and I wait until she nods to push the head of my cock in slowly. I wait, listening to her breathing as she hitches, then gasps as I slide in further, opening her up. Fuck, you're tight. Or you're big, she teases, her words slurred with lust as I slide more into her. I go slow, small strokes that open up her body as Hannah reaches down, rubbing her pussy with her hand to relax herself, until I feel my hips settle against her ass. I growl, reaching down and pulling her up for a shared, lingering kiss. Take me, she begs. I kiss her hard in reply, letting her settle back under the grass before I pull back and thrust in long and deep, my cock filling her until we're both gasping, the tight clench of her ass around my cock making my heart hammer in my chest. I thrust again and again, stretching her and gradually speeding up. It's like some sort of island magic fills us, and sweat glistens in the moonlight while I pound her, crying out words I don't even recognize, just sounds and nonsense. But Hannah seems to understand, the two of us going faster and faster. My hips slap hard against her, and Hannah pushes back, squeezing herself around the throbbing length of my cock and sending chills up my spine. The world evaporates. I can't feel the grass under my knees. I can't hear the cries of the forest animals or feel the wind on our skin. There's just the growing heat in my belly, the sound of Hannah's cries as I thrust in and out of her, and the beating of our hearts. My cock throbs, and I'm on the edge of coming deep inside of her. But there's something holding me back, and I know what it is. It's my heart. I need to open it up completely to her. All the risks be damned. Fine. I don't know if you love me, but I love you, I say in my head. and even admitting it to myself is enough to push me over. I cry out, coming hard, but I can hear Hannah moaning too. She's coming again, her ass clamping tightly around my cock and drawing out the feeling until it almost aches and I explode. I've never felt anything like this, filling her ass with blast after blast of my hot cum. My fingers are clamped on her waist, and my eyes stare at the sky. I've thrown my head back, and all I can see is the last of the meteor shower, as the last of me pours into her. After it's over, we lie there, curled on the grass. I wrap my arms around her, troubled, falling for her. Hell, I, head over heels, already fallen in deep. But she lives a couple of hours away by plane. I remember that much. And she's got a life, a career. I doubt this could have ever been more than just a fling in paradise, but I care for her. More than any other woman I've ever had in my life, I care for her. She can drive me nuts, and she's motivated me to dig through a huge pile of shit, regardless of what I told Caleb. Right now, though, I'd do it all again, just to see her smile, or to kiss her lips. I've never felt like this before. I'm not sure I'd know what to do even if there weren't all these conflicting issues. But there are issues. Tonight may be perfect. She may be perfect. But tomorrow, it all ends. We should go back, Hannah says, fidgeting. We get dressed, and I let Hannah use my shirt to clean herself before I wipe myself down and pull on my shorts. I don't need a shirt. I reach out, taking her hand, and Hannah clasps it to her chest, kissing my knuckles. Listen, I know tomorrow we have to fight, but tonight is something I'll never forget. Thank you. Thank you, I reply softly, as we walk back toward the house. We get back, not saying much, even though I want to say more. Instead, I give her a kiss as we enter the house, and watch as she goes down the hallway toward her room, my heart and my mind still churning with questions, to which I have no answers.
Chapter 20. Hannah. You sure do have a glow about you, Cassie says from the bathroom when I get back to the room. Crackling with energy, she looks like she's down to party another few hours. I definitely don't blame her. Tonight's been magical. I'm still drowning in the afterglow of being with Tony. Every moment with him was incredible, and I didn't want it to end. If tomorrow never came, I'd be a happy woman. What the hell happened to you? I ask as my eyes focus on Cassie's face. She looks like a cavewoman, with wildly disheveled hair and a torn dress. If not for the grin on her face, I'd be worried. Caleb had his way with me, she says, slipping out of her ruined dress and into pajamas. No way, I exclaim in disbelief. I was beginning to think their flirting and taunting was playful, not sexual. Was my radar that far off on them? Get your mind out of the gutter, Cassie says as she grabs a brush and starts trying to tame her wild mane. I mean, he about tickled me to death when I tried to jump kick him in his ass for throwing that water balloon at me. Don't worry, I gave as much as I got. You should see him. Oh, I laugh. Yeah, can you believe it? He's jealous I have more swag than him. She makes a face. The bastard made me beg him to stop, and I had to because I was laughing so hard I thought I was gonna pee. Just imagining Cassie screaming at Caleb while he tickles her mercilessly only makes me laugh harder. Cassie pauses her brushing to fix a murderous scowl on me. Oh, that's funny to you? I only laugh harder. No, I say anyway, clutching my sides. Sorry. What happened with you? Did you do? Her voice trails off into silence, and I swear the only sound is my heartbeat. I could lie, tell her that nothing happened and we just enjoyed each other's company. But I don't want to anymore. Nothing that feels that good should be kept secret. Besides, she knows. She just doesn't know any details. Slowly, I nod my head. Cassie looks worried as she sets down her brush, staring at me for a long time before replying. Han, listen. I'm glad that you and Tony are into each other. Really, I am. You guys actually make a cute couple. She looks down at the floor, fidgeting with her pajamas before looking back up at me. But be careful.
Someone could get really hurt here. You know that, right?
The worry in Cassie's eyes is touching. In my heart, I don't know if I'm lying to her or not as I answer.
I appreciate that. But we agreed that we're both going to just go and give it our all tomorrow. Only one of us can win, and I accept that.
Okay.